Let us pray. O God, for as much as without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. So for my birthday a couple of weeks ago, I was given a classic movie from my childhood called The Sandlot. The movie focuses on a young boy who has recently moved into a neighborhood, and he seeks belonging with some rascals who love the game of baseball, even though he really doesn't know much about the game. They are reluctant at accepting him at first, but they finally embrace him into their group, and they all play ball at the Sandlot. But one day, they need a baseball because they've either damaged or lost all their other balls. So the protagonist goes home and grabs the only ball he knows, an old baseball on his stepdad's shelf with the signature Babe Ruth. He goes back to the Sandlot to continue playing ball, and he hits this ball of infinite worth over the fence into a yard guarded by the massive, ferocious beast of a dog named Hercules. And the rest of the film is about the extraordinary energy and effort it takes to search for and recover this lost baseball. Searching for something lost requires effort. In chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, he masterfully gives us three parables about finding something lost. The first being the shepherd that goes after the lost sheep. The second being the woman that searches for the lost coin. And the third being the father receiving and welcoming his lost son back home. The three stories together make quite a powerful statement. It is not an accident that they are interwoven together in the fashion that they are. Most of us are probably familiar with that old proverbial saying, a threefold cord is not easily broken. I think something similar is going on here in chapter 15. St. Luke, the physician, is giving us the remedy we all need. He's showing us God's passionate love for the lost. And he's showing us, the church, the mission in which we participate. Let us then look at this threefold cord a little bit closer, shall we? If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Luke chapter 15, verse 1. The boss of a big company needed to call one of his employees about an urgent problem with one of the main computers. And he dialed the employee's home telephone number and was greeted with the child's voice. Hello? It was a quiet little voice. Feeling put out at the inconvenience of having to talk to a youngster, the boss asked, Is your daddy home? Yes, said the small voice. May I talk with him? The man asked. To the surprise of the boss, the boy replied, No. Wanting to talk with an adult, the boss asked, Is your mommy there? Yes, came the answer. May I talk with her? Again, the little voice said, No. Knowing that it was not likely that a young child would be left home alone, the boss decided he would just leave a message with the person who should be there watching over the child. Is there anyone there besides you? Asked the boss. Yes, said the child. A policeman. Wondering what a cop would be doing at his employee's home, the boss asked, May I speak with the policeman? No, he is busy, said the child. Busy doing what? Asked the boss. Talking to daddy and mommy and the firemen, came the answer. Growing concerned and worried as he heard what sounded like a helicopter, through the earpiece on the phone, the boss asked, What is that noise? A helicopter, answered the tiny voice. What is going on there? Asked the boss, now alarmed. In an odd voice, the child answered, They just landed the helicopter. Alarm and concerned and more than just a little frustrated, the boss asked, Why are they there? And still whispering, the young voice replied, along with a muffled giggle, They are looking for me. How is your compassion for the lost? How is your compassion? Jesus welcomed sinners and even ate with them. The first part of our threefold cord this morning is a story about the shepherd that goes after a lost sheep. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes are complaining that Jesus is associating with obvious people of ill reputation. So Jesus teaches about God's love for outcasts and sinners. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Imagine this shepherd counting sheep. He's not trying to go to sleep here. This is his job. He comes up one short. One has gone missing. I imagine the passion of the shepherd tearing through the open country looking for this lost sheep. And the terrain here is not entirely comforting either. It's the desert, actually. As a shepherd, he knows that lost sheep are usually weak. He looks and he looks and he looks until finally he discovers the sheep. And he rejoices that he's found it. But sure enough, the sheep is weak. So he carries the weight of the sheep upon his shoulders. But he doesn't think of the burden that he's carrying. He doesn't think of the burden that he's bearing upon himself. He only thinks how joyful he is that he's found what was lost. There's a famous picture of Jesus holding a sheep over his shoulders. And the image of Jesus presented is a Jesus that is immaculately clean with blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it during the span of your lives. But the shepherd here would be undoubtedly Jewish, and he'd be dirty because he's a shepherd. He'd be dirty. And I mean, just going trekking through the wilderness looking for this lost sheep, he would have been filthy and he would have been exhausted, and then he would have to carry this weak animal all the way back to the flock. But his joy just cannot be contained. His joy doesn't just end with him. He's got to tell his friends. He's got to tell his neighbors. Jesus says, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. What about the second part of our threefold cord? Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? I'm sure we've all had things turn up missing in our everyday lives. For me, it's usually my wallet or my car keys. And I'm usually quite exasperated, tearing my house apart, literally, until I find them. I go frantic. And when I do find them, there is much rejoicing, like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. All the little people come out and they're clapping like this. Well, we can certainly feel the woman's anxiety concerning the lost coin. It would have been about a day's wage and worth. And all that's not a gigantic sum. But she lights a lamp and she sweeps the house. She searches carefully for this coin. And when she discovers it, what does she do? She's joyful. Notice this joy. Again, joy over finding that which is lost cannot be contained. Like the shepherd, she also calls her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her. To rejoice over finding a coin that is worth an average day of labor. Jesus says, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Well, finally, we come to the last part of the threefold cord. It is a story well known to us. It is known to us by many names. The story of the prodigal son, the story of the two brothers, the story of the older brother. I'd like us today to focus on the father, however. For when his younger son returns to him, the father sees him from a far way off. And what does the father do next? Filled with love. And this key word here, compassion. The father goes running out on the road toward his son. He embraces his son. He kisses his son. The son apologizes for his previous actions. But it's as if the father has already moved on from them. Before the son even finishes his confession, the father says to his servants, "Quick, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. Celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Who is the father? Who is the shepherd? And whom is the woman? My favorite church father, Ambrose, comments, "They are God the Father, Christ, and the church. Christ carries you on his body, he who took your sins on himself. The church seeks, and the father receives. The shepherd carries, the mother searches, the father clothes. First comes mercy, then intercession, and third, reconciliation. Each complements the other. The Savior rescues, the church intercedes, and the Creator reconciles. We are the sheep of the shepherd. We are the precious coin with the imprint of the King. And we are the son for whom he has prepared his banquet." Amen?
Amen.
I don't think it is a coincidence that the woman's story is between the story about the shepherd and the father. The woman's story is right in the middle. For the church finds herself in the midst of the mission of God. She participates in his very mission to reach and to save that which is lost. No doubt there are many within the church that grumble and complain in the same way the Pharisees and the scribes do in our passage. But the church is not some exclusive club. The church exists for the glory of God and for the sake of others. Jesus was out making relationships. He was befriending sinners. That's one of his titles, is it not? Jesus, friend of sinners? He mingled with people who knew God. He hung with people who didn't know God. But he knew exactly why he had come. He came to save sinners, to save the world, to take the weight and the burden of all our sins upon himself at the cross. Such is the love of our good shepherd, for we, like lost sheep, have gone astray. And we all need the shepherd who takes our burdens upon himself. I feel like with all the sheep imagery, I should give you a sheep story. There was a merino sheep named Shrek, named after the popular movie character, on the South Island of New Zealand. And for 6 years, Shrek was missing. He had escaped from the flock and had been hiding out in caves. And all that time, his fleece had grown quite a lot. It grew and it grew and it grew. It weighed about 60 pounds in all. It had grown so much it mostly covered his eyes. He was an absolute mess. And so you can get the idea of how big of a pickle he was in. A fleece of 10 pounds was the norm for this type of sheep. But his was 60 pounds. And he was found, and he was sheared in about half an hour's time, relieving him of this enormous burden that he had been carrying for years. And it was estimated that his fleece was enough to make 20 suits for men. 20 suits. 6 years away from his shepherd. 6 years. It had certainly taken a toll upon him. People need our good shepherd. People need to be carried upon his shoulders. Jesus is passionate about saving outcasts and sinners, and he calls us, his people, the church, to be fishers of people. It's not just for some, it's for all of us. He calls us also to go after the lost. A threefold cord is not easily broken. The father welcomed his son who had repented. He received him with open arms. He kissed him. He clothed him. He threw him a party. People need to be welcomed and received when they repent. They don't need their past mistakes and grievances thrown back in their faces. They need to be embraced and truly loved and celebrated. Our Lord calls us to offer such a homecoming for those who repent. Not to be like the older brother, grumbling, "Look what you've done, Dad." A threefold cord is not easily broken. The church finds herself in the midst of the work of God. She participates in God's very mission. She is called to intercession. She is called to search for that which is lost. And she is to follow the example of her Lord. So how do we as a people begin to live into this? Well, first, clearly from the passage, we pray. We pray for family members who don't know the love of Christ. We pray for friends who don't know the love of Christ. We pray for co-workers and neighbors. I think you get the idea. We pray. And we pray not just in our own strength, but in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. We do mission with God. With God. Not apart from Him. Remember this. We do mission with God. Not apart from Him. Second, we befriend people. We invite them over for dinner. We take them out for coffee. We show them hospitality and we offer them friendship. And if they see Jesus in us, and God willingly they will, eventually there will be a moment in time when they will say something to this effect. "You know, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something in your life. Something that I'm attracted to. Something that I'm missing. What is it?" And when a situation like that arises, when a moment like that comes, there's your chance, there's your opportunity to share your faith story about what Jesus has done in your life and what He's currently doing in your life. Befriend people. Well, thirdly and lastly, look for opportunities to serve others. Act on those you see who need help. Make time to assist them. Don't just make the excuse we all frequently make, "I'm just way too busy. Just way too busy." But then somehow we find time to watch the latest episode of Stranger Things on Netflix. Or we can watch the Cowboys blow yet another season. Although I'm crossing my fingers this year. There are people all around us who need us. Lord, give us eyes to see them. Give us eyes to see them. Give us grace and power to act. Give us compassion to pursue them. So pray for people. Befriend them. And serve them. You don't have to go too far to find someone who needs Jesus. The Lord is passionate about seeking the lost sheep. The Lord is passionate about welcoming back the lost and dead child. And we, the church, participate in the mission of God. And we should be passionate about seeking the lost as well. I hope we all never look at Luke 15 the same way again. I hope when we all come to it in the future, we remember this great mystery. The shepherd, the woman, and the Father. Christ, the church, and God the Father. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Let us pray. O Lord, hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.